Good morning. Before we begin, I'm going to ask Claire Grislas to come up and play a song for us. She's going to be playing Minuet in D Major, and I just happen to know that she played that at the music festival last month.
Good morning. Today is the day that the children will come in waving their palm branches. And to do that, we want to learn this kind of a song. So you can't just kind of sit in your pews there. You have to move. So Trudy is going to play through once. It would be much better if we could stand, but then you can't see the children. So we'll get you to just stay sitting. But let's just wake up a little bit. Okay, Trudy, here we go. It's in your bulletin. Sorry. Okay, children, come.
Jesus is coming, pave the way with branches. Jesus is coming, Hosanna. Jesus is coming, pave the way with branches. Jesus is
once more, even a little bit faster, and all the kids get up and just move and wave those palm branches. Okay, here we go. Stand, children. Okay.
Please join me in the call to worship. It's in the bulletin. Look, our King is coming. Blessed is his name. With branches, cloaks, and loud hosannas, we greet him. Rejoice, the Son of David has arrived. Our Savior is here. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, as we remember how Christ the King entered Jerusalem to the sound of joyful shouts, increase our faith and listen to our prayers, so that we may praise you every day by living always in him. For he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Are there any guests this morning? Good morning. Welcome.
I was really surprised this morning to see some good friends, Ron and Sue Shelbert. Who's that? They come from Saskatoon. We're there when we were there. Ron is currently one of the pastors at the church, Mount Royal Mennonite Church. Wonderful to have you here.
Good morning. Are there any announcements that anyone wants to highlight? I'm going to highlight a few myself. Number 7, please pray for the Westgate Mennonite Collegiate students and staff as they deal with the loss of significant people. Over the Christmas break and again during spring break, a number of students and staff had family members pass away. Number 3, everyone is warmly welcome to an Easter Pascha breakfast taking place next Sunday at 9 a.m. before the worship service. We ask that Paschas be dropped off in the kitchen on Sunday morning prior to the breakfast. If possible, bring one for yourself and for one to share. We will be serving breakfast, fruit, eggs, ham, cheese, jam, as well as Pascha. Family and friends are most welcome to join us for this time of fellowship and celebration. Thank you to the care group for hosting this event. And I think everyone else can read through the rest. Oh.
I'm not exactly sure which number in here. I didn't look. But I do know it's in there. And that is about May the 4th. So I just want you all to put that on your calendars, not to be missed. We are having a musical Sunday here that Sunday morning. So no sermon. Just music from all kinds of groups, choirs, and so forth. So then we're having a potluck after that, so you're all invited for that. And you bring a salad and a main course, or a main course and a dessert. Okay, so not just one, because we always run short of those main courses, so we want to feed everyone. So please mark that down, very important.
Sorry, and then I forgot. I was going to highlight number 10. The Westgate Spring Bursary Banquet is coming up 2 days after the potluck, May 6th. It's a wonderful evening, lots of fellowship visiting, and, of course, great music by the Westgate choirs and bands. And now we'll have our sharing time. I'm going to start with, please remember those in hospital, our church family in hospital and in care homes. And also number 1 in the bulletin here, that Elsa Braun is now at home and recovering from her hospital stay. And would like to thank everyone for the prayers, well wishes, and visits, especially Pastor Gary. They were greatly appreciated. Gerhard is still at Riverview, so please continue to keep the family in your prayers. Is there anybody else? I guess not. Okay.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you guys? This was always my favorite Sunday of the year, going into church and waving leaves, and people smile at you today when you're making noise instead of frowning like they usually do. So, good. Okay, I have a book today. It's called When Blue Met Egg. One snowy morning, Blue was awakened by something extraordinary flying through the air. Do you want to sit so you can see? So there's something flying through the air. And Blue is a bird, for those of you that can't see the pictures. A rather strange egg. My, you're early. How did you get here? Asked Blue. Egg was quiet. Well, said Blue, you're awfully cold and wet. Egg, I guess I'll have to watch over you. So Blue packed Egg in her bucket and decided to look for Egg's mother. I'm not going to read all the rest of the words of the search because we want to save a little bit of time. So she's looking for Mom here. Did anyone lose an egg? No missing eggs. And she went to a fountain. Anyone missing an egg? Is anybody putting up their hand there? No, no Mom there. Now they're downtown having a hot dog. Do they find Mom here? No. Where could Mom be? So they're up high on a roof of a building. Do you see a Mom there? No, no Mom. They just had to keep looking for her. Now she's even making little flyers saying that she's found an egg. And then she sees some birds flying up in the sky, and they're going to follow them over to that park there. But she can't fly that far holding the egg, so they take the subway. And when they get there, is there a mother there? No, still no Mom. So finally Blue decides, well, Egg, it looks like it's just you and me. So she took Egg ice skating and sledding, and they even made snowbirds, and it was a perfect afternoon. And that night, Blue and Egg snuggled up in Blue's nest to brave the cold winter night. And the next day, they had fun together again. Does anyone know what that is? On a merry-go-round, yes. And January went by, and February, and March. Looks like they went to the theater. And in April, Blue noticed the whole city was slushy. The days were getting warmer, and Egg was getting smaller. At first, Blue thought Egg was sick. She tried everything to make Egg feel better. Get well cards, even soup. But that just seemed to make things worse. The next morning, Blue woke up to the first sunshine of the year. She turned over to check on Egg. But Egg was missing. Egg! Cried Blue. Blue looked frantically. Egg must have accidentally rolled away, thought Blue. Slowly, Blue looked over the edge of her nest, terrified at what she might find. What do you think would happen if an egg fell out of a nest? It would probably crack. Let's see. There, at the bottom of Blue's tree, was Egg's bucket, just where Blue had left it, along with a puddle and something pink. Blue rushed down to look more closely. Egg, you've bloomed, exclaimed Blue. Is that what you expected? I think you're going to love this time of year, Blue told her friend. Now, do you think that egg that Blue took care of all winter, was it really an egg? Does anyone know what it was, Christian? It was a snowball. Did you expect the book to end that way with a flower instead of... What were you expecting? If we were talking about an egg, the whole book, what did you think would come out of the egg? Well, what usually comes out of an egg? Help me out here, guys. A chick, that's right. So today, when Pastor Gary is talking, he is also going to be talking about expectations and how things were not as they seemed on the Sunday that we were waving palm leaves when Jesus came into the city. So you need to be listening very carefully for the unexpected parts of the story. Can we bow our heads for prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for the surprises and the unexpected turns that our lives take. Be with us this week. Amen. And you guys can come sit back here for the rest of the service. Thanks.
And if you'd like to turn to page 238 in your blue hymnal and stand, we'll sing Hosanna, Loud Hosanna.
Okay. So this is a time in the service where we have something called congregational prayer or prayer of God's people. You know what that is? Not exactly. Okay. Well, what that is the church is like a family. It's just like your family. You care about each other. In the church, we care about each other as well. And so we say, what are things that are important to all of us? And we'll stand before God and we'll tell him about that. So today we're remembering, like, Astrid's grandma is in the hospital. Well, Jacob's grandma too, I guess. And she fell and hurt her back really bad. So we want to remember her. And we heard about a person called Gerhard Brown who had a stroke and his one leg isn't working really properly. And so that's kind of rough. And we often remember Christian and Ben's auntie Melanie, who's been in the hospital. Remember, we've been talking about her because we think of her. And then we think about the bigger world. Right now, there's some stuff going on. Have you heard of Ukraine? Yeah. You heard of what's going on in the news there? Yeah. Some of your grandmas and grandpas came from there. Well, right now, things are a little bit, they're not too good there. There's some people fighting and there's a lot of people running around with guns and we really hope it calms down. So we pray for that. And you've heard about Syria? There's been a war dragging on like forever and there's like millions of people that had to leave home. Can you imagine that? All of Winnipeg had to go live in a little tent city over by Niverville or something. That would be terrible. Not the Niverville part, but. Okay. And so, That's what the congregational prayers. So I should ask, are there some things? Oh, we also say good things when we're celebrating, you know, like somebody has a baby or somebody's getting married or something like that. So, do any of you have anything you'd like to say that we should pray about? Pardon me? God, you're right. We will pray about God and we'll say thank you to God for all the good things, right? And new nephews. What's the nephew's name again? Greg? Graham. Like Graham? Like that? Okay. Graham. I'm not sure. Okay. So that's what we want to do. And so what we want to do now is we want to take a few minutes to pray, and we'll take all these things that we've talked about and a few others, and we'll bring them to God together. Okay? Great. Let's pray. Well, God, we've got an awful lot to be thankful for. We get a little grumpy with the weather. The winter seems to drag on, but we live in a wonderful place. So thanks for a wonderful place like Winnipeg. Thank you for school and for all the things that we can do. Thank you for the break that a lot of these kids had a week ago. Thank you for our homes and that our parents have jobs and all that kind of good things. Sometimes, God, we forget. We forget to be grateful, and we get a little grumpy, so sorry about that. Help us to remember. Well, God, we've talked about a few things that are important. We think about Annie Franz and ask that you would be with her in the hospital. Thank you that she can be so cheerful and friendly, even though she has to lay there day after day. Be also with Gerhardt Brown and it's Riverview as he recuperates and hopefully gets better, and so he can go back home or into another place. Help him to keep his chin up as well. We think about Graham that was born not too long ago. It's so exciting to have new life come into the world and into our families. So be with the family as they celebrate that. We talked a little bit about Ukraine and some of the problems there and also about Syria. God, we don't know what we can do because it seems so far away and the problem seems so big. But we know that you're bigger than that. And so thanks, God, for the way that you look after things. Thank you for all the people who are trying to make things work out peacefully. So, God, thanks for walking with us. Thanks for bringing us together as a church family. And be with us as we continue to think about you this morning. Amen.
Thank you, Trudy and Elaine, for the music again this morning. And I forgot to mention earlier, thank you to the special ushers this morning, Rory, Christian, Mackenzie, Hannah, and Keely. And now I'd like to ask Megan to come up and read the scripture passage for this morning.
Morning. Today I'll be reading from Matthew 21, 1 through 16. When Jesus and his disciples came near Jerusalem, he went to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives and sent two of them ahead. He told them, "Go into the next village, where you will at once find a donkey and her colt. Unite the two donkeys and bring them to me. If anyone asks why you are doing this, just say, 'The Lord needs me.' Right away he will let you have the donkeys." So God's promise came true, just as the prophet had said, "Announce to the people of Jerusalem, your king is coming to you. He is humble and rides on a donkey. He comes on the colt of a donkey." The disciples left and did what Jesus had told them to do. They brought the donkeys and its colt and laid some clothes on their back. Then Jesus got on. Many people spread clothes in the road, and while others put branches which they had cut from trees. Some people walked ahead of Jesus, and others followed behind. They were all shouting, "Hooray for the Son of David! God bless the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hooray for God in heaven above!" When Jesus came to Jerusalem, everyone in the city was excited and asked, "Who can this be?" The crowd answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus went into the temple and chased out everyone who was selling or buying. He turned over the tables of the money changers and the benches of the ones who were selling doves. He told them, "The scriptures say, 'My house should be called for a place of worship,' but you have turned it into a place where robbers hide." Blind and lame people came to Jesus in the temple, and he healed them. But the chief priests and the teachers of the law of Moses were angry when they saw his miracles and heard the children shouting praises to the Son of David. The men said to Jesus, "Don't you hear what those children are saying?" "Yes, I do," Jesus answered. "Don't you know that the scriptures say, 'Children and infants will sing in praises'?"
Thanks, Megan. So, you know what Sunday it is, right? I Googled Palm Sunday, and you know what I found? There was a person holding a Sunday in their hand. Palm Sunday. So, I want to say a few things about Palm Sunday, but I thought we'll live on the edge today, and we'll have start with a little Q&A, and this is not rehearsed. So, if you have some questions about Palm Sunday or about what's been going on here today, why don't we start with that? Does anybody have any questions about Palm Sunday? Yes.
How do you know
how do we know what people said to Jesus on Palm Sunday? Because it's written down what they said, right? I guess that what happened was that the disciples were sitting there listening, and they remembered, and God helped them to remember, and then later, years later, they said, "What was that again? Oh yeah!" And then they wrote it down. So that's, I think, how we remember. Is that your question? Okay. Any other questions? You must have like 62 of them. Come on. Yes. That's right. God can hear whatever you say. That's wonderful, isn't it? Because when we pray, we know that God can hear us. That's very exciting. Yeah. Any other questions or words of wisdom? Yes. Why would he need a colt? I mean, why couldn't he just walk there or do something else? Oh, the donkey and the colt. I don't know. But luckily we have another pastor here, so I'll ask him. Ron. Why would he need the colt? You know what? You got me stumped on that. I'm going to see if I can find out and let you know another day. Right now, I don't know. You'd think one would be enough, right? It's hard to sit on two animals. Somebody else have a question I can answer? Yes. Why did he ride on a donkey, not a horse or a camel? I know this one. Well, interesting thing. They were crowning him as king. Some translations say, blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord. And so a king should have come on a big white horse with a sword and a bunch of other people riding around and all important. And he came on a donkey, but he was making a point. And that is, instead of being all, look at me, it was, he was humble. He said, I'm like you. But this is a little bit weird. You ever wonder why they waved the palm branches and threw their drink? You know why? Yeah. Hot day. Yeah. Why don't I think of these things? Well, when they're waving the palm branches, this isn't the first time that it happened. In history, they had done that. But it's saying to people they're really important. You ever watch the Oscars? And they've got this big red carpet that everybody walks down? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? This is like that. And so the palm branches and the blankets were like the red carpet because they said, hey, this is a king that's coming. And so they rolled out the red carpet. But the donkey is a funny twist in the story. It's a little bit like if Angelina Jolie came to the Oscars riding a bicycle. And they said, hey, Angelina, hurry up. You have to walk down the red carpet. And she said, just a minute. I have to lock up my bike on the fence. So it's the donkey part is a bit strange. But he's making a point. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute a little bit more. But Jesus always turns things a little bit. Good question. Any other questions? Yes. Well, why do they use palm trees, not normal tree leaves? Yeah. Because they're what? They're big, yes. That's one. Right. They are normal out there. We wish they were normal here because we'd have a nicer climate, but out there, that's just kind of the trees they had. Yeah. Yeah, it's a way of getting rid of them, right? Okay, any others before I start my rant? No, it'll be nice. Okay, so I was thinking about Palm Sunday, and I was going to talk a little bit about it, and if you have some questions as I'm going, just stick your hand up, okay? Or just holler at your question. So, have any of you been treated like something different than you are? You know, like you're in a family where there's people that are really athletic or musical or get really good grades and they say, oh, you're from the family, I guess you'll be like that. You ever get that? Yeah. Yeah. The parents hear that? It happens. So it's sort of like saying, if you're alone, you're going to be in the choir. Right? All the time. My wife and I have three children, and my wife's been playing piano since she was like this big, right? So she was just thinking, when we have children, they're going to be piano virtuosos. And so they all came along, and way too young, they got stuck in piano lessons. And you know how many of them wanted to play piano? Zero. You're absolutely right. One played trombone and a little bit of football, and one played soccer and did track, and one was into dance. None of them played piano. They said to her, Mom, that's your thing. This is what we do. Oh, so she has to live without her piano virtuosos. When I was, when I was young, but I still have two sisters who are older than me and a brother who is older, and we lived in a small town. And so there's a small high school, and we all go to it. So by the time I get there, they know my family. One of my sisters is just bubbly all over the place and in charge of everything. wonderful kind of people. So when I showed up in English class in grade 8, the teacher says, oh, Martins is here. Great. This is going to be a wonderful year. And I'm 13 and I can hardly coordinate moving my arms and legs at the same time. I'm like, I don't think so. And then I went into shop class and the teacher said, are you a Martins? I said, yes. And he went, got to keep my eye on you. I need to ask my brother what he did in there. So anyhow, that's kind of what the story's about of Palm Sunday. So Jesus is there and people say, oh, we know what he's about. We know what kind of a king he is. And they don't listen to him. So there's a bunch of different kinds of people. The first group that I was going to mention is a bunch of leaders. You know, in our town, they'd be like the mayor and the counselors and political people, the people who make decisions about stuff. Now, in their country, a different group of people from a different country had taken over, and their soldiers were everywhere, and they made them pay lots of taxes and do stuff they didn't. And that was miserable. Well, it would be miserable for us too, right? Let's say if Iceland took over Manitoba, and they would come here and make us pay lots of taxes and shovel their driveways all the time and stuff. So these people wanted a king who would free them from all that. And so when they saw Jesus, they said, oh, he's a good candidate because everybody always follows him. Beside, he can do really, really cool things. Remember the story where Jesus is in a boat with his disciples and he's sleeping and there's huge waves and they think they're going to drown? He must have been in a different kind of boat than I was, because the boats I've been in, you would have fallen right out. So they wake him up and he says, do you know what he says? Remember? He says to the waves, quit it. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. You remembered? He said, put on a life jacket. No, he told, instead of talking to the disciples, he talked to the waves and he said, quit it. And so these leaders thought, wow, if he can control the waves, maybe he can say to a pile of rocks, fall on top of the soldiers, and it would, and they would get rid of them or whatever. And so they said, woohoo, Jesus is coming. He's going to be our king. And Jesus goes, oh, no, I'm not that kind of king. I'm not going to chase out other people. I'm more worried about what goes on inside of you than goes on outside. Because even if we get rid of the people from Iceland, we still have ourselves to live with, and you can be cranky with or without them. And Jesus said, I want to come and change you on the inside. Later on, they went to the temple. And you remember, you heard the part about where they turned over the money changers' tables. You know what that means? You ever go to the United States and you have to exchange your money before you go because they won't take Canadian money? You've done that? Yeah. Well, it was the same thing in the temple. They had special money in the temple. And so these people would set up their tables there like a farmer's market, and they would exchange money. But guess what they did? They charged people way too much. And they laughed at them. Ha ha, you can't do anything about it. And they would take their money. And Jesus said, that's not what the church is about. And so the leaders then got a little bit upset at Jesus. They said, we want you to do what we want you to do, not what you want to do. And so they were a little ticked. He wasn't the right kind of king. Next group of people were the regular people, you know, like the people who go to Walmart. Have you ever watched the YouTube people of Walmart? It's not like those. It's the ordinary ones. So the people come along and they say, Jesus does really cool miracles. Remember 2 weeks ago, Mr. Brian Dick was preaching and he talked about the guy who was blind and Jesus made some mud, smeared it on his eyes. They washed it off and he could see. Remember that story? And sometimes there were people who were lame. Last week, Chris talked about somebody who died and Jesus came along and made them alive again. And people say, now this would be the kind of king we'd like. Not only that, remember the story about where they go in the field and Jesus is preaching and everybody comes to listen and it's lunchtime and they don't want to go home because he's really interesting. Just like you guys can't go home at lunchtime here if I keep going. And so what did Jesus do? Do you remember? Yeah. He fed the 5,000, what, the order in from Subway? Yeah. So was it like a truckload? Right. Right. One kid. Yeah. You guys know your Bible. So he takes one little lunch and he feeds thousands of people and he has 12 baskets left over. And so the people are thinking, he can heal us if we get sick so we don't have to pay for doctors. Well, we don't count it anyhow. And if we get hungry, he feeds us. We don't even need a job. This is great. We want this guy for a king. So they said, Yahoo, come on. We can be lazy and you can be our king. And Jesus said, no, that's not the kind of king I am. If I'm the king, it's really hard work to follow. Because he said, if you want to follow me, you have to care about all the other people more than you care about yourself. And you have to take it really serious following Jesus. It's not easy. It's hard. Next group of people were the disciples. The disciples have been with Jesus for 3 years, and they saw him with his wonderful preaching, and they saw he was such a good preacher. If he was here, church would be full, balcony, basement, parking lot. I bet you the street would be full all the way to Henderson. He was amazing. So they watched him with preaching, and they saw his miracles, and they said, come on, Jesus, start being a king already. People are ready for this. And so when they hear this, they're all excited. Woohoo! There was two of the disciples. Their name were James and John. They were called the Sons of Thunder. What do you think they were like at home? Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Anyhow, yeah, they were very loud. So their mom came to Jesus and they said, when you get your kingdom going, can you make these two guys the most important people in your kingdom? The other disciples were mad. You know why they were mad? You're right, because they wanted to be the most important people. So the disciples are saying, yes, Jesus is coming in. That means we're going to be famous and popular and rich and powerful. Let's go. And Jesus says, nope. Jesus said, you've been listening to me for 3 years. Don't you get it? Ah, he says, if you want to be the greatest, you know what Jesus said? Whoever wants to be the greatest, you have to be a servant. In that country, it was really dusty. When you'd go visit somebody, they'd have servants in their house and they'd come, servants would wash your feet. Jesus washed their feet. He says, if you want to be some hotshot, you've got to be the servant of everybody. And he says, as far as getting wealthy, he says, birds have nests and foxes have a hole in the ground. And you know what I have? He said, nothing. I have nothing. I don't own a house or even a donkey. He had to borrow the donkey. He had nothing. So you're not going to get rich. And as far as getting popular or famous, what happened on Good Friday? Everybody walked away. And so he says to his disciples, I don't think you quite understand what I'm talking about. So there's one more group there. Do you know who they are? Pardon me? Disciples? No, those were the ones we just talked about. They didn't get it. They didn't get it. The last group were the kids. Yeah. Like you guys. And you know, the kids were absolutely fine with Jesus coming on a donkey. They didn't care. And they didn't care that they weren't rich or famous or popular. In that country, they treated kids terrible. I was going to say like dogs, but we treat our dogs really good now, but. They treated the kids like they were not important at all. And how did Jesus treat children? Nicely. So when the disciples said to the kids, shoo, get lost. Jesus wants to talk to important people. Jesus said, hold it. Bring them back. These are the people that make up the kingdom of God. These people understand. Because Jesus was humble. That's what the donkey is about. He didn't make a big deal about who he was. The kids cared about people who loved them and were kind to them and understood them. And that's what Jesus did, right? So the point of that story is that the rest of us need to become more like you guys. So sometimes we get really carried away thinking we have to teach you everything. And we're really excited that you know your Bible stories and somebody's done a good job. But you know what? We also need to slow down once in a while, because just like the leaders and the people and the disciples, sometimes we get a little carried away and we forget what Jesus came for. And sometimes you people remind us. It's simple. Jesus came to teach us how to live and to love us and to teach us how to love and care for others. Jesus came to change us on the inside. So today we want to say thanks. Thanks for the way that you keep reminding us of that. And thanks for the way that you wave your palm branches lots of times, not literally, but figuratively. And you remind us that we really need to slow down and follow Jesus with a sense of innocence and honesty and obedience like you do. So thank you very much.
In your blue hymnals, number 237, and we'll sing verses 1, 3, and 5. And if you'd like to stand, please. Number 237.
Trudy, if I could have just a moment. There's one more thing we always do in this service. Do you remember what that is? We have something called a benediction. Any ideas what that means? Well, what we do is before we go, we ask God to bless us. And because God can see us and hear us wherever we are, and we ask God as we go from this place that God would bless us as people until we get together again next week. Isn't that wonderful? So I want to read, it's just a couple of verses long, it's from the book of Numbers, and this is something that Aaron said to all the people. Now just before I do this, when we're finished the benediction, Trudy's going to play a song and Jen and I are going to go out. And today, because you are the people that are important and we're learning from you, I'd like to ask you to join us. Would you do that? So when I walk out and Jen walks out, you want to come out with us? Okay. Let's start with the benediction. Let's bow our heads. And now, people of God, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Okay, let's go.